Thank you. That title is a mouthful, but hopefully it'll make sense once we're going through it. So I have no relationships to disclose. Quickly, I'll go over the aims of the study, and those were to examine Peruvian female sex workers' evaluation of their participation in a phase 4 clinical trial of HPV vaccine. So it's a retrospective look back at their social and health risks and benefits and what they thought about that and related to the study. How they perceived the informed consent process, what they thought about their incentives, and also how they felt about their treatment in the study. And the rationale is that participants' post-trial trusts, fears, and feelings are really not addressed to great detail in the published literature, and it may be that investigators are a little bit fearful to kind of look back and find this out if they see that bad things happen in their study. But understanding what participants want and what works for them is good for being able to increase recruitment and retention in our clinical studies and trials. And little is known about participants and their perspectives on social value and risks and benefits of participating in vaccine trials. So to give you a little bit of background, the study took place in Lima, Peru, where there's about 18,000 female sex workers. Selling sex is legal, but buying sex is illegal, so it's a little interesting there. HIV and syphilis testing is required for brothel-based organized sex workers every 3 months, but it's not always practiced. You can see here is an example of a health card. So women will often get this health card one time and kind of utilize this throughout their career. And sex workers in Peru, they face high stigma. They often, like many other places in the world, they live in one place and work in another, and they're at higher risk of sexually transmitted infections only because of their high exposure to different clients. To give you a little bit of background on HPV vaccine, since this was a HPV vaccine clinical trial, completion in the United States borders around 30% among girls, and it's much lower among boys, it's around 7%. And at the time we conducted the study, there was no data in Peru, and there was no studies of HPV vaccine completion in high-risk groups like MSM, sex workers, and older women. So we conducted the clinical trial of HPV vaccine in a high-exposed group, and that was female sex workers, and it was titled the Sunflower Study. And it took place in 2009, and there were two main parts. One was a longitudinal study of HPV prevalence at different time points, and the part we're going to talk about today is the randomized trial of HPV vaccine acceptability. So participants were randomized to one of two groups. One group where they received the standard HPV vaccine according to the Merck schedule, which is 0 to 6 months, and the other schedule, which matched up with their required STI testing every 3 months. So we thought that if we offered the vaccine in a different schedule, which matched with their testing, it would be more acceptable that more people would get the vaccine. And all participants in the study received the vaccine. But they also received other benefits. They received condoms, lubricants, cancer screening, wart removal, STI testing, for example, for syphilis. If they had an abnormal PAP at a level of CAN3, we performed the LEAP procedure to remove infected parts of the cervix. And then participants also received a small token of appreciation. And in this study, overall, 92% of our participants completed 3 doses, so we were happy with that. Compare that to the 30% here in the U.S. But we did have strong retention activities. We had phone calls, office visits. We used peer health promoters to find our participants, and we also went to their places of work. So the current study that we're talking about today is a retrospective look at the Sunflower Study. And we used a mixed methods approach. So we used semi-structured interviews, which lasted 1 to 2 hours. And we also did a quantitative survey, which took about 10 minutes to collect information on demographics and scale questions. The quantitative measures, again, collected demographics, longitudinal HPV vaccine knowledge. So everyone received the vaccine, but we wanted to see what they remembered over a 2-year period. And we also collected information on some scale questions, if the study was well described, if they thought participation was voluntary. And then we conducted the interviews and qualitative measurements, including what they thought about their recruitment into the study, if they thought that was fair, what they understood about the study at the time and now, and what they thought about the incentives that they received in the study. So we recruited participants who came to the clinic that we established, an NGO, and asked them, did you participate in the Sunflower study? And we showed them the consent form that they would have signed if they participated, and we showed them a little study flyer that I have here I could pass around. And we offered them a small amount of cash to cover transportation to the clinic to participate in the study. We received IRB approval from UC Irvine and also the Impact IRB, which is in Peru. And no names and signatures were recorded to protect the identity of the participants. And during the qualitative interviews, women were assigned colors to protect their identity. In total, we interviewed 16 women. The mean age was 26 years, and high school education was the most common. The mean frequency of sex work was 5 days a week, 50 clients a month, and 94% agreed that HPV is sexually transmitted. And remember, these are all participants that received the vaccine. And 75% claim to know of a vaccine that protects against HPV. 100% received the vaccine. 75% knew of a vaccine. According to the quantitative results, which was the data we collected in the survey, most said that the study was well described in the consent process. Everyone said that participation was voluntary, but a few said that they felt they could not withdraw from the study at any time. So there's a disconnect there in understanding of voluntariness in a study, which is pretty interesting. Most of them also enjoyed participating, and just a few thought that the study should have paid them with the other benefits that they received. And we have a few salient quotes and themes that we identified. So one of the main themes was balancing fear and trust. And I won't go through all of the quotes here, I'll just go over a few. So one participant, when we asked her about the fears that she faced in the study, said, yes, if my family found out where I worked, but I accepted because everything was coded. Regarding gratitude and respect and the incentives that were received in the study, one participant said, in every visit they give us gifts and incentives, and I felt important, it was just right, my health was of more importance to me. And then fair treatment and dignity, this was an important theme. One participant, when we asked her about her treatment in the study and outside, she said their service was so friendly. For example, if you say you work in a brothel or in a bar and you go to a regular hospital, they treat you very ugly. They didn't look at you and they don't treat you well. However, in the Sunflower study, I was treated very well. You can see the quote at the bottom. It's one we like to say, if nothing else, they always treated me as human. So oftentimes, female sex workers in Lima definitely are not treated as human beings. And then two additional quotes. Participants said all sex workers should be in a study like this, so we were happy to hear about that. But another theme was abandonment and security. So some participants did feel abandoned after our initial study. One said, I was in a lot of pain because I wanted to keep continuing with the treatments, for example, for pap smear and STI treatment, with the advice of the doctors that I know and trust. Another said, after the study was finished, I thought they would forget about me. I never thought that afterwards they would return to visit. Now that I know it's not true, that they're looking after me, I feel a lot better. So, in conclusion, participants were generally content with all of the aspects of the study and emphasized the non-coercive attributes. Balancing fear and trust was the most notable and salient broad theme in the attitudes and perceptions of the participants. And all the participants expressed gratitude for the treatment that they received in the study, despite a normalized stigma outside of the study regarding their female sex worker status. Further work is needed to reduce feelings of abandonment in studies like these, with navigation plans to transition from a study to out of research projects once they've ended to something that's sustainable. And we also need more research on perceptions of clinical trial participation to ensure the ethical treatment of research participants. So these are the acknowledgments, the Ford and Retti program, thanks to the study participants, and thanks to Alejandro Cabral, who's right there, who helped me translate things in the study. Thank you.
Thank you.